Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Ah, yes. Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. The show is Word for Word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this show is for Wednesday, December the 7th, 2016. We will be going into chapters 24, 25, and 26 of the book of 1 Samuel. That's Shemuel in the Hebrew. I'm still having a few bronchial problems. That just goes with the winter time and old age. But we will be getting into the righteousness of David as he spares Shaul in a cave here in chapter 24. Shaul is continuing to try to hunt him down and kill him for no reason, just jealousy and paranoia and manic depression, and just he's got real problems. So let's start in with verse 1 of chapter 24. David went up from there and dwelt in strongholds at En Gedi, 5872. Verse 2. It was when Shaul returned from following the Philistim, it was reported to him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En Gedi." Listen to this. 3. Then Shaul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men from in front of the rocks of the wild goats. That's 3277. Verse 4. He came to the sheepfolds upon the way where was a cave. And Shaul went in to cover, 5526, his feet, 7272. Now, cover his feet is an idiom for relieving oneself. He went in to relieve himself in the cave. And David and his men remained in the far end, 3411, of the cave. Verse 5, the men of David said to him, "Behold, the day of Yahweh said to you, 'Behold, I will give your hated enemy into your hand, that you may do to him what is pleasing in your eyes.'" In other words, he's sent Shaul into this cave, and Shaul doesn't know David's in there, and he's at his mercy. He could kill him. Just reach out of the darkness and whack him. But David isn't like that. He's a righteous man. And continuing verse 5. Then David rose up and cut off the corner, 3671, of Shaul's robe, 4598, secretly, 3909. I had to get rid of a frog in the throat there. Now, this corner is the outer garment worn over the inner tunic. That's the robe, and the corner has the tzitzit on it. Okay, the fringe that we're commanded to wear with a thread of blue. So while Shaul is taking care of business, he reached out, and in the darkness, Shaul couldn't see or hear, took a knife and cut off the corner of Shaul's robe. And verse 6, it was so afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Shaul's corner. He even felt bad about doing that because he was loyal to the king. He was just a righteous young man. So, Shaul was finishing his business, and David said to his men, "Far be it from Yahweh that I should do this thing to my Lord." That's 1:13. Yahweh's anointed, because Shaul had been anointed. He was still anointed, and it was up to Yahweh to take his life. Not a man. And David knew this, and he wouldn't kill him. Yahweh's anointed to put forth my hand against him, because he is the anointed of Yahweh. Now that's just straight up righteousness right there. He does not want in any manner to offend Yahweh. And this is more out of respect and love for Yahweh than it is for Shaul. But Shaul is actually anointed, even though David was anointed after to replace him. He's also an anointed man. He doesn't want his men to kill him. Verse 8. So David rebuked, 8:156, his men with these words. It did not permit them to rise up against Shaul. They wanted to kill him. And rebuked here is 8:156, and that is shasa. And that literally means tore apart. So the meaning is a little uncertain. It may be that he really just tore him up and made them feel bad because they wanted to kill Yahweh's anointed. But shasa there is a little unclear. So he did not permit them to rise up against Shaul, but Shaul rose up from the cave and went on his way. In other words, he finished what he was doing. Verse 9. David rose up so afterward and went forth from the cave and cried out after Shaul, saying, "My lord the king." When Shaul looked behind him, David bowed down, 6:9:15, with his face to the ground and prostrated himself, 7:8:12. He actually physically laid down on the ground. Verse out of respect to the king. Verse 10. Said David to Shaul, "Why do you listen to Adam's words," in other words of men, "saying, 'Behold, David seeks you harm'?" Verse 11, "Behold, this day your eyes see how Yahweh gives you today into my hand in the cave, and it was said to kill you, but I showed mercy upon you, and I said," pardon me for a second, I lose it every once in a while. My cough catches up with me. "And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord because he is Yahweh's anointed." Verse 12, "My father," now he's not literally his father, but that is a term of respect in the Hebrew. "My father, look, yes, look at the corner of your robe in my hand. Because I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you." know and see that there is no harm or transgression, 6588, in my hand, and I have not sinned, 2398, against you. Yet you lie in wait, 6658, for my life to take it away. Verse 13. Yahweh judge between me and you, and Yahweh avenge me of you. That's 5358, avenge me. But my hand shall not be upon you. Oh, my. Verse 15. After whom is the king of Israel come forth? After whom do you pursue? After a dead dog, 3611. After a flea, 6550. And verse 15, you can reference 1 Samuel 26, verse 20. Verse 16. Yahweh be the judge, 1781, and judge, 8199, between me and you, and see and plead, 7378, my cause, 7379, and judge me from out of your hand. Verse 17, it was when David made an end of speaking these words to Shaul, that Shaul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Shaul lifted up his voice and wept. Verse 18, said he to David, you are more righteous than I, because you have done, 1580, good to me, and I have done you evil. You have made known this day that you have dealt, 6213, literally done well with me. When Yahweh gave me into your hand, you did not kill me. Verse 20, because if a man finds his hated enemy, will he let him go on his way as well? So Yahweh rewards you with good for that you have done to me this day. Verse 21. This is a pretty important verse. And now, behold, I know that you shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Verse 22. Swear now to me by Yahweh that you will not cut off my seed, that seed line, after me, and you will not destroy, 8045, my name from my father's house. Verse 23, David swore to Shaul. Shaul went to his home, but David and his men went up into the strongholds. In other words, he still didn't trust him. So he was more righteous than Shaul, and that's the very saying that Yehuda, that's Judah, said to Tamar when she had tricked him into laying with her and getting her pregnant so she would obey the levirate law, and he was not going to do that. She tricked him, and then he was going to have her put to death, and she showed him his staff and a signet ring, and he said, you are more righteous than I. That's the same thing he said to her as what Shaul just said to David, for obeying Yahweh's laws. David would not smite Shaul because Shaul had been anointed as king. And until Yahweh took him out, he was not going to harm him. He refused to do him harm. That's the act of a righteous man. Yeah, I'm having some rough coughing spells here. But I'm going to keep on going. A little iced tea. Now we'll get into chapter 25. And this concerns the death of Shemuel. Verse 1. Shemuel died, and all Israel gathered together and lamented, 5594, him, and buried him at his home in Ramah. And David rose up and went forth to the wilderness of Paran. Now that is 6290. Verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose workings, 4639, as business, were in Carmel. And the man was very great. In other words, a rich man. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Verse 3. The name of the man was Nabal, 5037, and that means foolish. And the name of his wife, Abigail, 26, that means my father is joy. And a woman of good understanding, 7922, and a beautiful, 3303, appearance, 8389. But the man was hard, 7186, and evil, 7451, in his actions, 4611. He was not a good guy. And he was a Calebi, that's a Calebite, 3614. Verse 4, David heard in the wilderness that Nabal sheared his sheep. Verse 5, David sent forth 10 young men, and said David to the young men, go up to Carmel and come to Nabal and ask peace of him in my name. And say this to him that lives, peace to you, and peace to your household, and peace to all that you have. Verse 7. Now I have heard that you are shearing. Now your shepherds that were with us were not insulted, 3637. Nor was anything missing, 6485, of theirs all the time they were in Carmel. Verse 8. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. So let these young men find favor in your eyes, because we come on a good day. So please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son, David. Actually, it's Yom Tov, it's day good in the Hebrew, but it's good day in the English. And here is as a festive occasion. Verse 9. When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased speaking. 5117. Verse 10. Answered Nabal, David's servants, saying, who is David? Who is the son of Yishai? There are many slaves these days that break away, 6555, each man from before his master. So he called him a slave, and his young men slaves. Derogatory term. Verse 11, shall I take away my bread, my water, and my flesh that I have slaughtered for my shears? and give it to men whom I know not from where they come. Very rude. Very rude. Verse 12. So Dawood's young men turned back, 2015, on the way, and returned, and came and reported to him all those words. Verse 13. Said Dawood to his men, gird on every man his sword. Girded on every man his sword, and Dawood also girded on his sword, and there went up after Dawood about 400 men. And 200 abode with the baggage train, 3627. That's all the stuff they carried from camp to camp. Verse 14, but one young man told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, Dawood sent messengers from the wilderness to salute 1288, our master. And he screamed 5860 at them. That's Wayaat. Verse 15. But the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything all the days we walked with them when we were in the fields. Verse 16, they were a wall, 2346, to us both by day and by night, all the days we were with them tending the sheep. Now here, wall is choma, and that is a figure of protection. There was all kinds of stuff going on in the area, and they protected the shepherds and their flocks. And the shepherds really liked them. They treated them well and fed them and took care of them, made sure that nobody robbed them or no wild beast came and attacked their flock. They were guardians. So this is a good thing. Okay. Let me get another little hit of iced tea here. I'm having a little rough go this evening. Verse 17. Now know and consider what you will do, because harm is therefore toward our master and against all his household. He is such a son of Belial, that's worthlessness, that none can speak to him. Now this is one of his employees telling him, my boss is worthless. And he's speaking to his wife. So, and she knew it too. Verse 18. Abigail hastened and took 200 loaves, that's loaves of bread, and two skins, 5035, of wine, great big wine skins, and five sheep prepared. In other words, they were all butchered and ready to eat. All they had to do is cook them. And five measures of parched grain, 7039, 100 bunches of raisins. Bunches of raisins is one word in the Hebrew, 6778. And 200 cakes of figs. Those are sweet cakes. 1690, and laid them upon asses. In other words, she loaded up a bunch of donkeys with a bunch of provisions. And she wasn't telling her husband at all, because he was an idiot. Verse 19, she said to her servants, pass on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she did not tell her husband Nabal. I guess not. Verse 20, it was, she rode upon the ass and came down by the covering, 5643, of the hill. And behold, Dawood and his men came to meet her, and she met them. Verse 21, now Dawood had said, surely in vain, 8267, have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness. So nothing was missed from all that was his, and he has returned me evil for good. Verse 22, so and more also do Elohim to the hated enemies of David, if I leave from all that is his by the morning of any that pisses against the wall. 8366 is pisses, and against the wall is 7023. In other words, that's speaking of male descendants. And I didn't write this. This is what it says. And if it's offensive, I'm sorry. Verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hastened and went forth from upon the ass and fell face down before David upon her face, because she knew that he was royalty, and prostrated herself upon the ground. Verse 24, falling at his feet, and said, upon me, my Lord, let this iniquity be. Let your maidservant please speak in your ear and hear the words of your maidservant. Verse 25, let not my Lord please call to mind this man of Belial, Nabal, because as his name is, so is he. Nabal, 5037, is his name, and foolishness, 5039, is with him. But I, your maidservant, saw not the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Verse 26. Now, my Lord, as Yahweh lives and as yourself lives, seeing Yahweh has withheld you from coming for blood and from avenging yourself, that's 3467, with your own hand, now let your hated enemies and those that seek harm toward my Lord be as Nabal. In other words, may they all be foolish. Verse 27, now this blessing which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young man walking on their feet, my Lord. In other words, his foot soldiers. Verse 28, please forgive the trespass of your maidservant, because Yahweh will certainly make my Lord a sure 539 house, because my Lord fights the battles of Yahweh, and evil has not been found in you from all your days. Verse 29, yet an Adam rises up to pursue you, to seek your life, but the life of my Lord shall be bound, 6887, in the bundle, 6872, of life with Yahweh Eloheka. That means your God. And the lives of your hated enemies shall he sling out, 7049, as from the middle, 8432, hollow, 3709, literally the cup of the palm of a hand, of a sling, 7050. Because it was like if you cup your hand, you would place the rock in the center of that, and then whirl that sling and then release it, and it would sling, and the rock would go out and be slung out far. Verse 30, and it shall be when Yahweh has done to my Lord all the good that he has spoken about you and has appointed, 6680, that's literally commanded you ruler, 5057, over Israel. Verse 31, that this shall be no grief, 6330, nor stumbling block, 4383, of heart to my Lord, that you have poured out, 8210, blood without cause, 2600. Or my Lord has avenged himself, 3467, But when Yahweh has dealt well with, 3190, my Lord, then remember your maidservant. She's trying to take the blame for this on herself. Dawood knows what's going on, and she's just a righteous woman. Verse 32, said Dawood to Abigail, blessed be Yahweh Elohe Israel, that means Yahweh God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Verse 33, and blessed be your judgment, 2940, and blessed be you who has restrained, pardon me for a second. Yeah, that's rough. Who has restrained, 3607, me from coming to blood and from avenging myself by my own hand. In other words, Yahweh sent her to talk him down a little bit, and she did, and he's not going to go and kill Nabal and all his kids. Verse 34, but as Yahweh Elohe Israel lives, who has withheld, 4513, withheld me from doing harm, 7489, except you had hastened and come to meet me, surely none would be left in a ball by the morning light of any that pisses against the wall. In other words, he was going to kill all his male descendants. And that's what it says in Hebrew. I'm not going to water it down or change it. That's what it says. Verse 35. So Dawood took from her hand what she had brought him, and said to her, go up in peace to your house. See, I have listened to your voice, and lift up, 5375, your countenance, 6440. And that means I grant your request. Because he had this whole army with him, and he had the power to go up there and just lay the place to waste. But he didn't do it because of her righteousness. So that's pretty impressive. Verse 36. Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast, 4960, in his house, as a feast of a king. In other words, he really laid out a spread. And Nabal's heart was merry, 2895, upon him, and he was very drunken, 7910. So she told him nothing, little or great, until the morning light. Verse 37, but it was in the morning when the wine had gone forth from Nabal, and I bet he had a hangover, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart, 3820, died within him. Now, heart, 3820, can be mind as well. They use that for the mind. So he possibly had a stroke. Let's finish this and you'll understand. That his heart died within him and he became as a stone. In other words, he just sat there and didn't speak. Just, you know, so that is indicative, basically, I think, of a stroke. But that's how it was described. Verse 38, it came to pass in 10 days that Yahweh smote Nabal, and that he died. So he just sat around. They couldn't do anything with him. He was just like a vegetable. And the stroke finally killed him. Verse 39, when Dawood heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be Yahweh that has pleaded, 7378, the cause, 7379, of my reproach, 2781, from the hand of Nabal, and has held back his servant from evil doing, because Yahweh has returned the evil doing of Nabal upon his own head. He was prevented from killing the guy because Yahweh was going to kill him. Continuing on, verse 39. And Dawid sent and spoke with Abigail to take her to wife. Verse 40. When the servants of Dawid came to Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, Dawid sent us to you to take you to him to wife. 41. She rose up and bowed down with her face to the ground and said, Behold, your maidservant, 519, and that is Amma, and that is a higher station of servant than Behold, your maidservant is a maidservant, 8198, and that is Shephetha, and that's a lower station of servant, more menial than 519. So behold, your high station maidservant is a low station maidservant to wash the feet of the servants, 5650, of my Lord. She humbled herself before his servants as respect. She said, even though I'm the wife of a rich man, I will be no more than someone that will wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. That's really beautiful, if you think about it. That in the Hebrew mindset, that was really something. Verse 42. Abigail hastened and rose up and rode upon an ass with five maidens, 5291 of hers, that went on foot after her, and she went following the messengers of Dawid and became his wife. Verse 43, Dawid also took Ahinoam, 293, of Yisrael, 3157, and they were also both his wives. So he had Michal and Abigail and Ahinoam. He had three wives. Verse 44, but Shaul had given Michal, his daughter, Dawid's wife, to Palti, 6406, son of Laish, 3919, who was of Galim, 1554. And verse 44, you can reference 2 Samuel 3, verses 14 through 16. And Ahinoam in verse 43 is a different woman than the one in 1 Samuel 14, verse 50. They had more than one woman named that. Just like we do today. Well, Shaul gave David's wife away, because she was still living back at the palace. He said, well, he's not here, I'm going to give you to so-and-so. Oh, man. Oh. So let's get into chapter 26. I hope I can finish it all. It's 25 verses. I'm going to read straight through. Verse 1, you can reference Psalm 54, the title. The Ziphim came to Shaul at Gibeah, saying, Does not Dawid hide in the hill of Kachilah, facing toward Yeshimon? So see, Shaul was going to go up and go after him again. He would never keep his word, even after he spared him. He just, not good. Verse 2, Shaul rose up and went down to the wilderness of Ziph with 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Verse 3, Shaul camped in the hill of Kakilah, which faces toward Yeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Shaul came after him in the wilderness. Verse 4, David sent out spies and knew for certain that Shaul had come. Verse 5, David rose up and came to the place where Shaul camped, and David saw the place where Shaul lay. And Abner, the son of Ner, the commander of his army, and Shaul lay in the entrenchment, 4570. They dug trenches. And the people camped all around him, basically to guard him. He was the king. Well, verse 6. David responded and said to Ahimelech the Kitty, that means a Hittite, and to Abishai, whether he was a literal Hittite or not, we don't know. Could have been a nickname. And to Abishai, 52, the son of Zeruiah, 6870, brother to Joab, 3097, that's Joab, who will go down with me to Shaul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with you. Verse 7, so David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Shaul lay sleeping within the entrenchment with his spear pressed into the ground at his head place. But Abner and the people lay all around him. In other words, he just stuck his spear in the ground and camped next to it. Verse 8, said Abishai to David, Elohim delivered up, 5462, your hated enemy into your hand this day. Now let me smite him, please, with the spear to the ground one time and not a second time. He was just going to pierce him through with his own spear. Verse 9, said David to Abishai, do not destroy him, because who can stretch forth his hand against Yahweh's anointed and be guiltless? Now that will come to play later again. Verse 10, David said furthermore, as Yahweh lives, Yahweh shall smite him, for his day shall come to die, or he shall go forth to war and be swept away. 5595. That's going to be Shaul's fate. That's prophecy. Verse 11. Far be it from Yahweh that I should stretch forth my hand against Yahweh's anointed. But please take now the spear that is at his head place and the jug, 6835, of water, and let us go. He took his spear and his water jug. Verse 12, so David took the spear and the jug of water from Shaul's head place and went away. And none saw or knew nor awakened, because all slept. For a deep sleep, 8639, from Yahweh was fallen upon them. There you go, Yahweh's hand was there. They were undetected. And verse 11, you can reference 1 Samuel 24, 6. He did that again. He would not stretch his hand against him. Verse 13, David passed over to the other side in stood upon the top of a hill at a distance, that's all one word, 7350, a great space, 4725, between them. Verse 14, Dawud cried out to the people and to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, "Do you not answer, Abner?" He was the leader of Shaul's troops. Then Abner answered and said, "Who are you that cries out to the king?" He wanted to know who was hollering. Verse 15, said Dawud to Abner, "Are you not a man? Who is like you in Israel?" In other words, he was a mighty warrior. He was famous. "For what reason have you not guarded over your lord the king? Because there came one of the people to destroy your lord." Verse 16, "This thing is not good that you have done. As Yahweh lives, you are a son of death." That's appointed to die. "Because you have not guarded over your master, Yahweh's anointed. Now see where the king's spear is and the jug of water that was at his head place." Oh boy. Verse 17. Shaul recognized, 5, 2, 3, 4, Dawud's voice. And said, "Is that your voice, my son Dawud?" And Dawud said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." Verse 18. And he said, that's Dawud still speaking, "For what reason does my lord thus pursue after his servant? Because what have I done? What evil is in my hand?" Verse 19, "Now please let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If Yahweh has stirred you up against me, let him accept a grain offering. But if it is the children of Adam, cursed are they before Yahweh, because they have driven me out, 1644, this day from joining myself, 5596, in the inheritance of Yahweh, saying, go serve other Elohim." Verse 20, "Now let not my blood fall to the ground from before the face of Yahweh, because the king of Israel is gone forth to seek a flea, 6550. As one hunts, 7291, a partridge, 7124, in the hills." Verse 21. Here we go again. "Then said Shaul, I have sinned. Return, my son Dawud, because I will no more do you harm, 7489, because my life was precious, 3365, in your eye this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly, 5528, and gone astray, 7686, exceedingly." And that gone astray means morally. Verse 22, "Dawud answered and said, behold the king's spear. Let one of the young men pass over and fetch it." Send somebody to get the spear, in other words. Verse 23, "Yahweh rendered to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For Yahweh gave you into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth my hand against Yahweh's anointed." Verse 24, "Behold, as your life was prized, 1431, that means great, this day in my eyes, so let my life be prized in the eyes of Yahweh, and let him deliver me from all distress. 6:8, 6:9. Verse 25. Then said Shaul to David, blessed are you, my son David. You shall both do much and also indeed prevail. So David went on his way, and Shaul returned to his place. Shaul's increasing insanity drove him to pursue David again. And again, David spares him. But David says that Yahweh might smite him like he did Nabal, or he could go forth into battle and be killed. Later on in this book, that happens. And after this incident with the spear and the water jug, Shaul does not bother David again. He leaves him alone. That's the end of that. So tomorrow, we will be doing chapters 27, 28, and 29 in 1 Samuel. And we see the righteous action here, sparing the enemies because he was anointed formally. He was not following Yahweh's law. Shaul was a bad man. He was doing crazy stuff. But still, out of reverence to Yahweh and the anointing that was placed upon Shaul, David does the righteous thing. So this shows the intent and the integrity of David. And that's the reason Yahweh is going to make him the king later on. So we only have a few minutes here. And I don't have a great deal of sermonizing to do tonight. I just want to urge everybody to prepare themselves spiritually for what's coming to us in Israel. We are seeing more and more and more expose of the evil workings of the children of the enemy, the perfidious minions of Jewry. Even the mainstream media is hinting around at some things. A lot of them blatantly, though, are ignoring a lot of the stories that are coming out that are news, that are documented. They won't touch it. They're going to pay a price for that. They have lost all credulity with the people. They are no longer believed. They are known liars. And they're going to suffer for this. We need to stay spiritually strong and bind ourselves together in the name of Yahweh and help one another through these times of troubles. This is going to be very important. We cannot have the me first attitude. We're going to have to support one another, or a lot of our people won't make it. The strong will have to help the weak. You cannot look upon your brothers and sisters with contempt because some of them can't do certain things. You must treat them with respect as Israelites and try to be kind and gentle with those that have lesser abilities. We're not all equal in ability, okay? We're equal in love in Yahweh's eyes, but not all of us can do a lot of stuff. There's older guys like myself. I will push myself to the point where I just fall over But that's me. I've got that mindset. Go, 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 go. But I'm not physically as capable as I was when I was a young man. I cannot do certain things. There are going to be younger people that don't have the knowledge that a lot of the middle-aged physically fit people have. They don't know how to survive. We're going to have to help them. I'm a real survival guy. I got my go bag. I got all my stuff. I'm ready to rock. But that's me. Okay? Not everybody is like that. I cannot expect people to have the knowledge of things that I have accumulated over a long lifetime. I'm going to be 70 here shortly, and I've learned a lot of stuff. But my body is aged, and I've got some problems. Well, that comes with age. But my mind is still good, and I can still teach. I can teach others, and I'm fairly mechanical and aptitude, and I can fix things and make things work and build stuff. And if I can't lift a lot of the heavy stuff, we can get some of the younger ones to lift and build. And working together, we can all get this stuff accomplished. And it's going to have to be a group effort. You cannot have a selfish attitude and survive. So, if you follow Yahweh's laws, this will be written upon your heart. Can't force this on anybody. But we need to be vigilant. You need to be aware of your surroundings. If you go into any of the cities, there's increasing violence against people of our race. We need to be careful. Don't go in alone. Go as a group. If you need to go for supplies or anything in any of the large cities, they're dangerous at this point. Well, I'm just about out of time here, so I am going to say Shalom Aleichem. That's peace be with you to all my brothers and sisters. And I will be back tomorrow on Thursday with chapters 28, 29, 27, 28, and 29 of 1 Samuel. And then we will finish it up on Friday and then get into 2 Samuel. So may Yahweh bless and keep you and praise Yahweh in all things, brothers and sisters. He is our only hope. And trust in Yeshua, our Messiah. Shalom.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the Lord.